WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A Trump co-defendant has pleaded guilty in the Georgia election case. Lawyer Sidney Powell is the second person in the group of 18 to reach a deal with prosecutors. This is for reduced charges. She'll serve 6 months probation and pay $2,700 restitution. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
It includes this admission that she breached election machinery, and she will now testify against other defendants in their election interference cases in Georgia. And who is another one of these defendants? It's the former president of the United States.
The move by Powell comes a day before jury selection was due to start in her trial. Plans are taking shape overseas to get aid into battered and besieged Gaza as Israel continues its air assault on Hamas targets. CBS's Chris Livesay.
You can look at this initial 20 trucks as sort of taste testing what's on offer, because there are more than 100 trucks idling on the Egyptian side of the border. But Israel is very apprehensive. All it takes is Hamas to confiscate one of these trucks and to distribute it improperly.
President Biden has said if that happens, quote, it will end. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says the president will make a major address tonight.
CBS News has learned the White House is preparing to ask Congress for roughly $100 billion over the next year. It would address the conflict in Israel, and that would include ensuring Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system is fully supplied. The president is set to speak from the Oval Office tonight, only the second time he's given a speech from there, which speaks to the importance, at least to him, of this address.
On Capitol Hill, CBS's Nicole Killian has the latest on the prolonged saga that's developed over choosing a House Speaker. Ohio's Jim Jordan has failed on two votes.
He is showing no signs of throwing in the towel. We know that he went to meet with the Speaker pro tem, Patrick McHenry, just a short time ago, pretty much to talk about scheduling, but he did indicate that he thinks that there will be a vote at some point today. It's also possible Republicans may try to meet again internally.
On the Health Watch, CBS's Michael George has more on how artificial intelligence could help make a diagnosis.
Scientists say they'll soon be able to screen a patient for diabetes just by having them speak into their smartphone. Researchers with Click Labs say there are subtle changes in vocal pitch and intensity in people with type 2 diabetes. While humans can't detect those changes, AI can. The hope is to develop a smartphone app that can quickly and easily test people for diabetes.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 106 points. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate passed a bill on Tuesday to force state wildlife managers to set a firm numeric goal for the state's wolf population. Prior to the introduction of the bill, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources refused to implement a hard goal, arguing that not implementing a population limit would give them more flexibility in addressing wolf population concerns. The bill, which calls for a statewide population limit of 350 animals, will now head to the State Assembly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has received nearly $17 million in federal funding to enhance operations of the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline. The service answers calls, texts, and chats to the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline program. The additional funding will build the 988 Wisconsin Lifeline workforce, strengthen connections between the service, 911 centers, and county programs, and raise awareness of the service through statewide advertising and outreach efforts. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
On our website, go to civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to Hour 2 of As Goes Wisconsin, 1106. Greg Bach is on the board and our guest every Thursday at this time for our public service announcement, our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome back, Greg.
Hi.
That's right. You weren't here yet last week.
I was in Texas last week.
You were in Texas last
week.
Oh, yeah. And Carol
came. It's always nice to have a little testosterone. Carol did a great job, but it's always nice to have a little testosterone on the show.
Well, okay. I'm a 45-year-old man. Little testosterone. I'm quite tired.
That's a different topic. That's a different topic. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we're going to start out with talking about iron deficiencies in women. Now, This is a big thing, and I have never heard of it.
Now, did you see this article in the New York Times?
Yes.
It's all over the place right now.
Yeah. So what's going on with iron deficiencies in women?
Well, do you know anybody who's ever told you that they're anemic or that they have an iron deficiency? It is really common. Like, it's so common that it's part of our regular vernacular. We talk about this commonly, but we really think that it's actually much worse than what the data has shown. So the belief is that over a third of women in the U.S. are iron deficient, over a third. Can you believe that number?
No. And is this just a naturally occurring thing that some women have less iron than others?
Well, it appears to be so. It's hard to know because we don't screen for iron deficiency. It's not something that we commonly test for. We do in certain scenarios, and not necessarily for iron deficiency, but for the more severe form of that, which is anemia. So when it's actually so severe, when our iron stores are so low that it's affecting our hemoglobin or hematocrit levels, that's when we typically pick it up. But we don't screen even all women for that. We only really screen pregnant women for that because we know that in pregnancy, babies can suffer poor neurodevelopmental outcomes. And also, you know, when we're looking at the birth event, people tend to lose a lot of blood and can lose a lot of blood. So we're always worried about, like, what is their blood count at so that we can be really careful. We're always wanting to be very careful, but, like, especially careful for people who have anemia going into pregnancy and delivery.
So what purpose does iron serve in our bodies? What does it do? What are the good things that iron does for us?
It does so many different things for us. And, you know, if your iron is low, you often don't recognize it, but you may recognize that you're more tired than you usually are, or maybe you're irritable. maybe a little shortness of breath or brain fog. I hear brain fog all the time from my patients. And you know, this time of year, cold intolerance tends to become a problem as the temperatures are dropping. So these are some kind of vague symptoms that can be associated with lots of different things, but iron deficiency can be one of the underlying denominators here.
And so you do need to go to your doctor and then have a test for it to check your iron levels, is what you're saying.
If you're feeling any of these things, I mean, these are all treatable conditions.
And it's, so it's treatable with over-the-counter supplements, right?
Yeah, or diet changes. It really can be as simple as adding things like organ meats or red meats to your diet. Turkey is high in iron. Shellfish, spinach, legumes like beans and soybeans and sweet potatoes. But if you don't get enough in your diet, there are lots of things we should be getting in our diets that we just don't eat that healthy.
Yeah.
No. So you can take a supplement and that's absolutely fine. If you do, you're going to want to take it with a meal with a little bit of maybe orange juice so that your body can digest it a little bit more freely. And then also be aware that iron supplements can cause constipation.
Oh, lovely.
I know. So take it easy as you're ramping up with the iron supplements. And you know, if you're experiencing one of those vague symptoms, this doesn't mean that you need to go rushing to the doctor and get a test. Like, it can be as simple as maybe do a trial of iron supplements or a daily vitamin, depending on, you know, what your diet looks like, and give yourself a month or so, or, you know, work your way through a bottle and see how you feel and actually write it down. I think we kind of tend to forget how we felt at the beginning of a treatment plan.
Sure.
And how we've changed as that treatment plan has progressed. So if this is something that you feel inspired to do, you want to give it a shot on your own, write down what your symptoms are, write down how you feel, maybe even like a scale on 1 to 10. How tired do you feel today? How fatigued are you? How bad is that shortness of breath? And certainly if any of these symptoms are severe, if they are worrying you, that means you really do need to talk with your doctor about it.
And what about milligrams for iron? Is there a big discrepancy as far as milligrams? Are all iron supplements equal?
There are so many different iron supplements out there. I Googled it before we came on the show today because I was like, you know, is there a particular kind? Because there's ferrous sulfate and ferrous gluconate. And throughout my training, there have been different things like that different people have recommended. You know, you should do the slow FE. You should do this. It's more bioavailable. I mean, really, it's just a matter of what works for you. Different people will react to the different substances in the supplements in different ways. So give one a shot, see if it works. If it's working, great, stick with it. If it's not, try something else. And if the pills don't work for you, there's always the option of IV iron. We can actually do an infusion. You have, of course, have to go see your provider for that.
Sure.
But we can do an infusion of iron, and then you don't have to take the supplements and you don't end up with a lot of those GI issues like upset stomach and constipation.
Greg, would you like an iron infusion?
If I needed one, yes, absolutely.
Greg, would you like an Iron Man infusion?
Yes! I want an iron suit and abs, please. Thank you. Thank you, please.
If you have questions for Dr. Lyerly, you can always text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Iron is something that would also be included in any kind of multivitamin, right, Dr. Lyerly?
Not necessarily.
Oh, no.
This is one of those that, like, because people tend to be kind of sensitive to it, you really need to look at the label to make sure that there is iron in your multivitamin. And then when you're deciding, like, which iron supplement to use, think about how much you get with your diet, because that's really going to help you determine how much of a supplement you need. So if you're a vegetarian, odds are, unless you're a big spinach and broccoli eater or legumes, odds are you're probably going to need a little bit more. Being a vegetarian is a little bit of a risk factor. But if you are like an organ meat eater, if you're, you know, a liver and onions kind of person, then you probably are pretty good. Maybe you need a little bit of extra iron.
I couldn't tell that face, Jane.
I just can't with the liver.
I wasn't sure if you were enjoying that idea
the organ meat. It's too ugly to eat. And my mother used to love it. She made liver and onions, and it smells so good. And then I would look at it as a kid and go, yeah, there's no way I am eating that.
What about Braunschweiger?
Oh, you're going to ruin Braunschweiger for me?
You didn't know that was an organ meat?
No.
They're all really coming from... All right.
All right. I'll get
take
my,
it over, doctor.
Then I'll get my iron through Braunschweiger.
Yeah, yes.
That's palatable. But that's probably worse. Health-wise.
Well, I mean, you know, everything's a compromise. Everything in moderation, Jane.
Jane, a doctor is telling you to eat Braunschweiger.
Okay.
What more do you want?
I'm going with that, and I'm sticking with that. Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. She's here every Thursday from 11 to 11:30 for our public cervix announcement. And we have Pat from Wind Lake on the line. Good morning, Pat. Did you have a question for Dr. Lierley?
I have more a comment based upon my experience. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a regular blood donor at Versity Blood Center, and I'm borderline anemic, and so... Every time I go in to donate, it has been in the past a possibility that I won't because my iron is low. And what I've done since, and I tried to address it first with iron pills, and the doctor I was seeing told me to take, and I know one of these two words is correct, a ferrate, I believe it is, which is different than just going and grabbing a bottle of vitamins that says iron. You know, it's a more substantial supplement. And I've been doing pretty well with that. One other thing that I've done before, the night before I donate, is I have a grass-fed burger, but I cook it in an iron, cast iron skillet. Now, it's said that the cast iron skillet is supposed to, you know, add iron to whatever it is that you're cooking, but since I've been doing it, I've been you know, doing great with donating, and I haven't been deferred for over 8 months.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic.
Thank you for donating.
Yeah, and good for you, Pat, for being a regular donor. That's so wonderful. How did you get into that habit? I'm just curious.
My work had offered to have a blood drive there, and I've been doing it now. I took advantage of that. I've been doing it now for 23 years.
So good for you.
Fantastic.
Blood 23 years.
AB negative.
Oh, you're AB neg?
And my, yes, and so there's so few of us that they don't really need my blood so much, but I take my plasma because everybody can use my plasma.
Nice.
Everybody wants you, Pat. Nice to be wanted.
For my lifestyle. that would be a nice thing to put on my epitaph.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good for you for doing that, and thank you so much for calling. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
We got a surprise comment from the live stream from new mama Kristen Bry.
Oh, what did she say?
She said, they told me I was anemic during my pregnancy, which is why I was always craving chewing on ice.
That is
that's
symptom.
Another symptom.
It is.
Pica. Yeah, people eat weird things and they know that they're things that they shouldn't be eating. When I was working down in Georgia, I met a number of people who were eating clay. They were eating dirt.
Oh.
And they knew, or baking soda. And they knew that they shouldn't be eating these things, that that wasn't normal, which is why they brought it to my attention. But that's what they craved. And that was the symptom that they were severely anemic.
All right. Well, now you know, if you have an urge to just start chewing on clay, you may want to see your doctor about that.
Yes. And importantly for men, so the primary cause of anemia in women is heavy menstrual bleeding. But in men, because they don't menstruate, it can be a GI loss or some other pathology. So if you are a man and you are anemic, that is worth getting looked into.
All right. We're coming up against the break. Don't hang up, Mark. I see you on the phone. We will come back with you. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning.
and they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, look for a chance of rain, especially this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies and a high near 59. For tonight, some fog and a low near 42. Friday, mostly sunny, 61 degrees. For Friday night, a few showers and mid-40s. Saturday, partly sunny and 56.
It's 51 at our studios.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WA.
Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are in the midst of our public cervix announcements, our Thursday segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have a question for the doctor, she is in 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC has been waiting. Good morning, Mark. What did you want to ask Dr. Lyerly?
Chemo, I had anemia, so I had to do the iron thing. But then I tried to get that through diet and vitamins because the iron pills just kind of really set me off. But for liver and onions, you just have to caramelize about twice as much onions as you got liver there. And it's nice sweet onions. You have a nice sweet mix there. And you know, just soak the liver in milk before you dip it in flour to fry it up. If you want to get really decadent, get some good nitrite-free, you know, uncured bacon that. And add another level of deliciousness there. You can't do it all the time, but it every once in a while it's a real treat.
Mark, we're gonna have to meet midway somewhere, and I'm gonna let you make liver and onions for me.
Yeah, I've loved it since I was a kid. I loved spinach too when I was a kid. But
yeah.
And Braunschweiger is always a favorite too for lunches. Made my own sandwiches.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. We really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, sister.
844-967-2789. Go ahead, Dr. Lyerly.
I'm feeling some sort of a community meal in the future.
Yeah.
Like an as goes, like a public cervix announcement, happy hour dinner.
A potluck.
I'm feeling this. A potluck.
Oh, that would be
great. Bring your favorite anemia treating food.
We got the liver and onion section. We got the Braunschweiger section. We got the legume people. And
the spinach salad
people, and we will just all be jacked up on iron, and then we'll go lift heavy things.
Then we'll go to our doctor. We'll go to our doctor and they'll be like, "What did you do to yourself?"
We'll all be happy and
yes,
breathing well and not fatigued.
No brain fog, and life will be good. That's great. I love people sharing recipes, though. I really do. That's one thing we all have in common. Real quickly, because we only have a couple of minutes left. You have Skittle news.
I have Skittle news.
Oh, about the red dye in Skittles.
Oh yeah, do you remember this? It was a couple weeks ago that California banned red dye number 3.
Yes,
I know. it seems like very bad news. Like the way that it was presented in the media seemed like bum bum bum, the government is taking away our red Skittles.
Wait, Dr. Lilly, say that again.
Bum bum bum.
No, no, no. No, just say the headline.
Bad news.
The government is taking away our red Skittles.
He's all excited now that we have a sound effects file.
Yeah. This show's going to be mostly sound effects in a week.
Guys, we have to focus, though, because we know that Kristen is listening and we know how much she loves Skittles.
Yes.
And she might be crying right now. So it's okay. The Skittles are not going away. And
they're
in
not.
Fact, no. And in Europe, they don't use red dye number 3 and they still do have red Skittles. They've just found other things, smarter Skittles, you might say,
okay,
that they are eating in Europe. So don't worry. Do not pay attention to that headline. Skittles will be just fine. And it doesn't actually take effect until 2027. So there is time to transition to a different kind of red dye for your Skittles.
Why is it, though, that in Europe, they don't use red dye number 3, and we do?
Oh, so Jane, in Europe, they have a much more stringent group of environmental standards for products that we eat and use and medications. So, like, for example, cosmetics. There are a number of things that we have in cosmetics here in the U.S., sunscreen also,
right,
that are not used in Europe because they have been shown to cause cancer and other problems, hormonal changes in people. So the Europeans really do lead the way. Here in the U.S., we don't like to restrict things like that. So we as consumers have to be really smart about what we choose to consume and use. And the Environmental Working Group can really be a helpful resource if you're trying to be thoughtful about what you eat and what you use for your cosmetic products.
So obviously they have much stricter and more robust standards overseas than our current Food and Drug Administration.
They do.
Yeah.
Our current Food and Drug Administration, though, like, to be very fair, they are highly under-resourced. So there's only so much they can do.
Right. And that's a big issue, though, too. We want people examining to make sure our food supply is safe.
I'm really surprised I didn't hear about this Skittle thing on Fox News, because anytime something has to be changed, they're like, they're taking away your Skittles. They're taking away your ovens. They're taking away your freedom.
And what's going to be next, Greg Bach, right? What's next, Starburst?
We're going to take your babies.
So we can all chill out. Skittles will remain. Red Skittles are the best Skittles just because they're cherry-ish.
Okay.
And I eat them by order of color.
Really?
Yes.
Do they taste different? I just shove them all in my mouth and start chewing. Like, do they actually
taste you,
different?
Thank you, Dr. Lyerly.
No, see, I'm a freak. No, I eat them color by color. Starting with the lesser colors and then working my way up to the best. Which is the red one.
Oh, my God. I just can't believe
the lesser colors. We're learning a lot about Jane's diet today.
Yes. I'm so healthy. It's gonna be Skittles and Braunschweiger today for lunch when I get out of here. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you next Thursday at 11:06. Have a wonderful week.
Love hanging out with you guys.
You too. Take care. Coming up against the break, when we come back, sports reporter Paul Noonan will be here. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. There's late word Ohio Republican Jim Jordan will not seek an additional speaker vote today. He's lost 2, allowing the House to give temporary Speaker Patrick McHenry wider powers. CBS's Nicole Killian.
There's a lot that's floating out there, but there is a growing sense that they need to do something so that they can get back to the business of legislating.
Former Trump attorney Sidney Powell has pleaded guilty to lesser charges in the Georgia election case. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
This is a remarkable about face, and if it was going to happen, it was going to happen on the eve of trial. And this is, everybody, the eve of trial. She was set to go to trial tomorrow.
Attorney General Merrick Garland concerned Mideast turmoil could lead to trouble here in this country.
As the FBI has noted, we are seeing an increase in reported threats against faith communities, particularly Jewish, Muslim, and Arab communities and institutions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
The L.E. Phillips Memorial Library in Eau Claire will hire security after an increase in incidents and misuse of public spaces at the library. They plan to begin the recruiting process in November and have a full-time security monitor on staff in early 2024. The position will cost the library roughly $70,000. A library official also called for a daytime shelter to be opened nearby to give unhoused library patrons another place to go. The man arrested and charged with bringing guns into the Wisconsin State Capitol building earlier this month and arrested again earlier this week, charged with carrying a concealed weapon, has been released on a signature bond. 43-year-old Joshua Pleasnik of Madison appeared in court today and agreed to a signature bond to pay $500 if he misses a court date or violates the conditions of his release. The conditions include prohibiting him from being in the Capitol Square Plaza, possessing any type of dangerous weapon, and coming within 1,000 feet of Governor Tony Evers or his family. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5, The Tap.
Whatever you want, the Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Your sports team is vastly inferior. That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course, you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are terrible.
Good morning. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Joining us, as he does every other Thursday, he is a sports reporter and a regular contributor to the Acme Packing Company and Baseball Prospectus Milwaukee. Paul Noonan is joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
So some big Bucks news this morning.
Yeah, big Bucks news, and I would say not great Bucks news. And if you don't like, it's not a player news, not head coach, but Terry Stotts, who was an assistant on the team, stepped down this morning, and it's not being reported as a firing or anything like that.
But he resigned, right?
He resigned, and so a parting of ways, and it's important for a couple of reasons. One of which is Terry Stotts has been Damian Lillard's head coach with the Portland Trailblazers for the last 9 years. At least one of the reasons for bringing him on as a Bucks assistant was because they had purportedly have a very good relationship, and it was, I think, fair to say, part of what ended up drawing him or making him okay with being in Milwaukee. Not that whole situation is complicated in the first place. He wanted out of Portland and he wanted to go to Miami, but it seemed like bringing Stotts on was to accommodate Lillard, and it also makes some sense from a Milwaukee perspective because Terry Stotts was briefly the head coach of the Bucks. He came up with George Karl. He was always an assistant on the Robinson Allen Cassell teams, and he has local ties, and so it seemed like a good fit for several reasons. But this is very strange that the regular season starts in like 5 days, and you don't see this kind of thing happen. You know, a week before the season starts, there was likely some pretty large friction there, and it's not good. You don't want this kind of chaos, weirdness, whatever, right before a season starts where you are a championship contender. So it's worth monitoring and being concerned about.
For sure. And where would this friction be coming from, Paul? I mean, I realize this is speculative, but.
Yeah, of course, very speculative, but my guess is, so Adrian Griffin, the Bucks' actual head coach, his reputation coming in is as a defensive guru. He was with the Toronto Raptors, a very good defensive team, and I think what you're asking to get out of him is a defensive presence. Lillard is different. He is not a defensive first guy. Like, Giannis is good at everything. He's one of the best defenders and best offensive players. Lillard is not. Lillard is an offensive guy, and I do wonder if there's just a styles clash here with what they're asking for everyone to do on defense versus wanting to play just a more offensive style where, you know, the rest of the team pitches in on defense and you score a bunch of points, which is frankly how you should use Damian Lillard,
right?
But I mean, if the styles difference is that large that Stotts is being asked out, you have to wonder how Lillard is going to take to whatever Griffin has been preaching leading up to the season.
So now we have to worry about Damian Lillard wanting to get out.
I mean, I would say he can't get out right away, but I think there's certainly a worry that he coasts through a season and then kind of replays what happened in Portland, which is wanting out to go to a contender. Well, you know, winning fixes a lot of things if they come out and they're pulling the doors off of people. Maybe this will all be fine, but it's not a good way to go into the season. And it's not like Griffin has a lot of, you know, a lot of experience as a head coach with the Bucks to fall back on here. I mean, I think it's, he's going to win the battle. He's the head coach, but I causing this much friction this early on strikes me as, you know, a big, huge red flag.
And considering all of the excitement when it was announced that the Bucks got Damian Lillard, it's got to be this roller coaster of emotions now for Bucks fans, because this was supposed to be the answer, right? He was going to be the key piece and help bring the Bucks to another championship, was my understanding.
Yeah, and talent-wise, it's hard to argue there's a better team out there. There's a couple you can, of course, argue there are a better team out there, but talent-wise, this should be fine. Coaching in the NBA is a little bit about scheme. We've had some bad schematic people as the head coach of the Bucks in the last, not Mike Budenholzer got fine, but before that, Jason Kidd, kind of a disaster. But that's only part of the issue. Like, you have to be a chemistry guy first and foremost, and you have to make sure all your guys are playing together well, seamlessly, and understand roles. And that's my big worry. Like, I don't think that Stotts is going to make waves in terms of, like, too much in terms of strategy and whatnot. But, like, I you got to worry that, like, that's a sign that his guy is not happy.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, yeesh, it'll be interesting to see how they start off. They haven't played a lot in the preseason. The Stars have not played a lot in the preseason, so that we haven't actually seen if this has any on-court appearances yet.
Right.
But, yeah, it's not good. You don't want to start off like this.
No, that's for sure. Paul Noonan is our guest sports guru. And after talking about the Bucks and losing one of their assistant coaches who resigned this morning, what should we think about our Packers heading into this weekend?
So this is a game that will tell you, I think, more than any other game this season about the Packers. They're playing the Denver Broncos. They're playing with a ton of time off after the bye. And the Broncos have by far the worst defense in the NFL. So if the Packer offense is ever going to show up, this is the week it's going to show up. If Aaron Jones plays or not, it really shouldn't matter. Jordan Love should not have trouble completing passes against the Bronco defense. No one else has had trouble.
But when you say this, see, that's what makes me nervous.
I'm terrified of this game.
They're the worst defense in the league, and we're going to go in and embarrass ourselves.
Yeah, so some people might take a look. The last game they played was against the Chiefs, and it was a low-scoring game. Patrick Mahomes was held to 19 points. But if you look at actually what happened in that game, the Chiefs moved up and down the field and just couldn't punch it in, which has kind of been a problem for them. Close to the goal line, they have all these like little tiny receivers and not really good power back. And so they put up yards, and they put up a lot of yards against the Broncos. I am terrified of this game because I have the same exact worry. To my eye, after the Bears game, it hasn't actually looked like the defense has mattered that much to the Packers. They've just struggled kind of no matter who's out there. But this is a game where game plan should be. They've had a ton of time to install a good game plan, to do film study. And they're going to be as healthy as they probably will be for the rest of the year. I don't know if they're going to have everybody back, but it's going to be like close to a full power team, if nothing else. And they have to show in this one. And if they don't, we can all officially be worried that Love is not the guy and that they're not going to turn it around. This is, if you chart out defenses by any metric, advanced or otherwise, Denver's all by its lonesome on the far left of that chart. So that's what we got going here.
It sounds like a really technical way of saying they suck.
That's the nice nerd way of saying they suck. That's correct.
Well, and I always wonder too, when they're off for, and everybody gets a bye week, but when they're off, and yes, they work on schematics and they work on plays and they study films and things, but I wonder sometimes if that affects the cohesiveness when they actually get back out on the field.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There are some rhythm concerns, and if they start off a little bit slow, I think that's fair. Also, in Denver, the Packers have historically been very bad in Denver. I believe they're 1-7 all time in Denver. That the thin air gets to everybody. A lot of those teams are good. You know, a lot of Elway team is baked in there, but I do. But like health, I think matters above all else, and there's so many little things to work on. I think Denver will probably flood the middle of the field like the Raiders did. That's just an adjustment you have to make. Like, the LaFleur game plan should be pretty simple. It should be simple throws to the outside, more simple reads, like RPOs are the simplest read that Love can make, and there should be a lot of those. And if they come out doing anything other than that, and he struggles to hit his short passes to the outside, that's just a recipe for disaster, especially because Denver's offense isn't that bad. It's just not good enough to keep up with how bad their defense is.
Paul Noonan is our guest, sports guru, and covering all things sports. When we were setting up what we wanted to cover today, you mentioned Russell Wilson.
Yeah. So Russell Wilson's the Broncos quarterback, and I love Russell Wilson. So covering Aaron Rodgers is great for the content. He is, you know, a big off-the-field personality. Russell Wilson is like almost better than Aaron Rodgers in terms of content generation. He is one of the weirdest people in the NFL. And I love Russell Wilson. Like, he quarterbacked the best season in the history of Wisconsin Badger football. But he's weird in so many very strange ways. So I'm not going to get into his relationship too much because that gets into icky territory, and I'm not doing that.
Understood.
But first of all, go Google it though.
I even know what you're talking about. So
yeah. So a couple things though. So he has been a sponsor and sold what's called Reliant Recovery Water, it nanobubble water that's supposed to cure concussions, and has stated publicly that it magically cured one of his teammates' knees. And he cites it at, you may all remember the awful 2014 NFC Championship game that we lost. Clay Matthews actually concussed him in that game, and he cites his quack water as the reason he was able to come back in and beat the Packers. He has also sold football-shaped bread, which he set up as a charitable foundation and got into trouble for not paying his employees.
Oh, whoops.
And then he does all this weird other stuff. Like they had a game in London a couple years ago when he was still with the Seahawks. And he claimed that he did like high knees up and down the aisle for 7 straight hours while all of his teammates were sleeping on the plane. And just does stuff like that. More than anything, Wilson seems to want everybody to think he is like a really big go-getter, authentic guy, and it comes across as cheesy. But it's cheesy in such a weird way that it almost comes back around to sounding authentic again, that he might just be a really cheesy guy. The Broncos asked him to do like this catchphrase for them, and they did him a little dirty, and they put out the test video of it with the green screen there. But then he went and said it at the end of every single speech he gave for an entire season.
Oh my.
I'm forgetting what it was like. It was like, "Let's ride Broncos," I think is what it was. I've tried to pull it up right now and failed. But like, he keeps doing this catchphrase. He tried to give himself a nickname at one point. Just he is wacky and weird and very unpredictable. But the main thing is, none of this would matter if it never showed up on the field. But last season, his first season with the Broncos, he got about halfway through the season, a bunch of Seahawks announcers, and this was reported at Field Goals, the SB Nation Seahawks blog, that he was using the Seahawks audibles in the Bronco games that he was quarterbacking. So none of his Bronco teammates knew what they were.
What?
So, yes. So he was saying like his old last year's audible, the words to change plays when nobody on the team that he was on knew anything about them or what they were. So Russell's wacky. Not quite sure he knows entirely what he's doing. He has been better this year. He was awful last year, and he's upped his game this year. But you never know what you're getting with that guy. He is some kind of crazy.
But I find it really fascinating, Paul, that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are now their scientists. They've just anointed themselves as scientists, and because this worked for me, I am now an expert on all sciences. And is it the concussions that ties that all together? I'm not sure.
Aaron, so I think they are two different kinds of like outspoken guys. Aaron's all about Aaron, and Aaron's very much, I think, a very standard like West Coast, Silicon Valley, into weird nonsense science kind of guy. And Russell's different, I think. I think he just kind of rolls with whatever's put in front of him to some extent. And the water thing is so weird. And I think a big placebo effect. I think he was fooled